You're listening to the Incomparables Total Party Kill podcast, in which a group of friends play Dungeons & Dragons on the internet for your amusement. This is episode number 446, recorded August 2022, posted April 2024. Murder Armoire.
Welcome back to Total Party Kill. It's me, Tony Sindelar, or as I am known on Total Party Kill in the video feed, at least, Dungeon Tony. I use he, him pronouns. Today, we are continuing one of our lovely Candlekeep adventures, specifically The Price of Beauty, where adventurers have gone to a spa and things have been just great until we got to the end of the adventure and now there's combat. Allow me to introduce our players. We are in the midst of kind of in a battle, at least a tense action sequence. So I'm going to introduce them in initiative order. They will remind you of who they are as people and as characters. And then I'll do a quick recap of what's going on. At the top of the order, it's James Thompson. James, welcome back.
I have he, him pronouns. I'm playing Nyasa Nightweaver, she, her, who is a high elf rogue ex-assassin who has taken up a strategic position and is not hiding in a cupboard.
Hmm. Also joining us, it's Annette Weirstra. Hi, Annette.
Hello. I am playing Valente, a female druid, elf, sister to Nyasa, and current assassin. I've never given it up because I like killing things.
I didn't say I didn't like it.
Also, just for the money. Also joining us, it's Aline Sims. Welcome back, Aline.
Hello. My pronouns are she, her, and I am playing Jasper, the tabaxi monk, whose pronouns are also she, her.
And next up, it's Monty Ashley.
Hi, I'm Monty Ashley. My pronouns, as well as those of my character Townley Mountain Taker, are he, him. Townley is a warlock for the Queen of Arryn Darkness, who gave him magical eyes.
And last, but certainly not least, it's Micah Sargent. Welcome back, Micah.
Well, hello there, Tony Sindelar. I don't know where this voice came from, but here it is. Anyway,
it's a bit of a brogue there.
Just a bit of a brogue. Anyway,
a pirate, I think.
Ajguri Lone Walker Mako Tatahani. He and I both use he, him pronouns. Oh, and he goes by Lone Walker. He's a Goliath paladin. He's a soft boy.
Well, what have our adventurers been up to? One of the librarians from Candlekeep Library has gone missing, and at the behest of his friend and co-worker, you went looking for that librarian. The librarian, Falthrax Loader, a dwarven librarian, who, don't you know, not sucked through, but I guess probably entered of his own volition, a portal conjured up from a book. Libraries, the real dangerous people. Great, they're lovely and important pillars of our community, but they are dangerous, at least in the world of Dungeons & Dragons. Traveling through that portal took you through to another place on the Sword Coast. Didn't travel you into some kind of extraplanar dimension or to some kind of horrible book dungeon or something like that, but it took you to a spa. But all was not well at that spa. And after spending several sessions just, you know, taking it easy, getting to know people, chatting a lot of people up, it has come time to have a final confrontation with management, as all good adventures are so structured. And our adventures have led an onslaught on to the tower behind the spa, where a trio of, are they elves? Are they something more? Has set up shop. They have fought their way to the second floor of the tower and are taking up position as they know that interlopers are making their way both down and up the tower in their direction. So I think that is where we pick up. You're all kind of taking up various positions around this kitchen that takes up half of the second floor. You have not investigated what's on the other half of the second floor. There's a third floor to the tower, and you've fully explored the first floor of the tower, I believe. Maybe not. You've been there before, at least. Anything we need to clarify or figure out before things get real?
Yeah, just one. What color are the eyes of our little dwarven friend?
Falther Slaughter. They are auburn eyes.
Auburn eyes. Good to know.
Yes.
Good to know.
Yes.
Just confirming.
I just want to point out that I realize this is a literal boss battle.
Yes. Mm-hmm. manager mishaps, boss battle. You want to talk to somebody, and it is, you know, it's these are things that are happening.
Sometimes life forces you into being a Karen, and you need to speak to the manager.
Yes. So here is the question: is who? Something is coming up the stairs. Something is coming down the stairs. Who is going to arrive on the scene first? I guess that's what initiative order is for. Clomping up the stairs to find you on the second floor is a creature looking to mix things up. It appears to be a stone gargoyle. It has kind of the appearance of an elf with wings. More perceptive players might notice it as one of the gargoyles that was perched over the door to the tower, and it has been set up to deal with interlopers. I will tell you, just strictly speaking from, you know, a kind of a tactical gargoyle perspective, gargoyles would prefer to be places where you don't know that they're gargoyles. They would prefer to be places where having flight would be really
advantageous.
Advantageous is a word that I meant to use. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what's not great is being on a cramped stairway. And I think, you know, this is a kind of a cramped spiral staircase. I think basically the gargoyle enters melee range as it comes into sight of your eyes, Townley, specifically your magic eyes.
Is this a third gargoyle, the second living gargoyle? Because I thought that Lone Walker like gave some looks at the gargoyle that was by the front door, and we determined that it was just a statue and not something more.
I believe there were two gargoyles by the front door, and you determined that one was a statue, and then a second one was there and then went somewhere.
And then the one already dead on the map is from somewhere else.
That was one that was positioned in the kitchen.
Okay, that's what I missed. Okay, yeah. Cool.
I think there are several statues present throughout this tower. A subset of those statues are gargoyles.
Got it.
All right. So this gargoyle appears at the top of the stairs. I think this will trigger attacks from a variety of people. Looking at the things that you wrote down, Townley, does this trigger your attack? Lone Walker, I think it does not trigger your attack because I think you're focused on things coming down the stairs.
That is true.
Jasper, I think you want to fire a dart. Valente, I think you want to fire Moonbeam.
If they attack.
Okay, well, this thing comes into melee range and goes to attack Townley. So,
okay.
Townley, I'm just going to roll some attacks on you, okay?
Okay. Let me know when one hits, because then Armor of Agathys will do something.
The gargoyle attempts to hit you with a claw attack. I rolled a pretty good 20. Maths 20 versus armor class. The gargoyle reaches out with its horrible stone talons and slices across you, Townley, for 5 slashing damage. It then kind of lunges forward and tries to bite you.
It took 5 cold damage when it did 5 damage.
5 cold damage.
And it took away my 5 temporary hit points.
It then tries to bite you, and I have rolled a 17 to bite you.
Oh, that will hit me. This was a bad
time. 5 piercing damage. It just sinks its stony fangs into your arm. What triggers here?
Well, my dart.
I had to use the word down.
I think there was some debate as to...
Micah? Don't worry.
I think there was some debate as to whether Nyasa's was going to trigger anything. At this point,
I think you could throw it. I think you could have been ready with a blade to throw at this thing if you want.
Okay. Well, I will pop out of a cupboard, strategic cupboard, and
think of it. It's more of a murder armoire.
And there's the title. Well, let's see. With my psychic blades, I have rolled. That's a 21. Will that hit a gargoyle?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, this gargoyle would be surprised because I got my sneak attack. So I do 1d6 plus 4 plus an additional 3d6 damage, which gives me 15 damage.
15 damage to this gargoyle.
Then I think I can throw another one. Yes, 16 plus 7, so that's going to hit. But it only does 1d4 plus 4, which was a 4. So 8 in addition.
Wow. Okay.
Additional 8.
Blades are sailing out at that gargoyle.
Okay. I think that's all I can do.
Valente, are you moonbeaming something?
Yes. Is how close is this gargoyle to Townley? Because I don't want to moonbeam Townley. And the radius is 5 feet. I can like target 5 feet.
It is. I would say Townley is within that radius.
Okay. So I will like think and be like, whoa, I can't trigger that because I don't want to like damage my friend Townley. I mean, okay. I'm an assassin, but I don't assassinate my friends.
I think that basically kind of costs you a round. I'll tell you, in the future, you would need to kind of like, I don't love readied actions as a mechanic because it feels like you're like, let's introduce computer programming into Dungeons and Dragons. Only James would like that. Enter a complicated phrase like, I moonbeam an attacker if I see an attacker, but if my moonbeam wouldn't hit a friend like that, I think that would be a valid ready action. I'm inferring that that is what.
But
you,
I did not do that.
That just sounds like wishes with genies, and I think you would like that.
Monkey paw curls.
And I did not thoroughly articulate options, so I will hold off moonbeaming.
Okay. And because some mean dungeon masters would say, I attack the first thing that comes through the door. And if like the person through the door was like your friend, bam.
Yeah, then you would have to attack them. Yeah.
But we're not going to do that today. Jasper, you want to throw a dart?
Yeah. And I got a 20 to hit.
All right. Now, I will tell you, gargoyles are resistant to non-magical weapons. So probably the gargoyle is not going to take all the dart damage.
Yeah, none of my damage is magical, unfortunately. So that's like
You're half of right.
Half of seven, but still better than nothing.
Half of seven. Right, I will tell you, more than zero.
You have bloodied at this point the gargoyle. It is looking, it doesn't have blood, but it's all of its what are supposed to be jagged edges are all kind of smoothed over. It has been heavily polished. It's been exposed to generations of acid rain. So
it's dripping mortar.
So the gargoyle has come down the stairs. Townley, did you have something other? You cast that thing that protected you. Was that what you had? Or
that was my action on my last turn. Yes.
Do you have a readied action that would have triggered then, or no?
No, because I don't have a readied action because I spent my action casting a spell.
Got you. So I think it is now your turn. Something's going to happen immediately after your turn. Spoiler. So
I'm going to toll the dead on this jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Please make a wisdom saving throw. Your target is 15.
Wisdom saving throw. Or this gargoyle has rolled a 9.
It will take 12 damage. Necrotic.
12 necrotic damage. I will tell you, that gargoyle is not looking good. It's almost as if all of you focus fire and hit it with every attack that you just did. Anything else?
No. If I walk away, it's probably going to hit me.
It will swipe at you.
Yeah. So, no, I'm just going to stand here in front of it, I think.
All right.
Looking it in the eye. What?
Coming down the stairs is an elven figure. You did not meet this. Happens to be the third of the three sisters. I don't think you met her, but I believe you saw a picture of her. You recognize her, and she looks pissed off that people are, you know, causing a ruckus in her kitchen. Here is the three sisters in the portrait that was hanging in the lounge with their dog. Her name appears to just be Greensong. So Greensong comes down the stairs. She has kind of greenish hair, and I believe and she's got kind of a strange veil over her eyes, and the expression on her face is one of deep, deep annoyance. I believe that will trigger your Warhammer.
Yes. So let me see, because I'm going to do a thing. I just have to remember what that thing is. Okay. So let me try to hit first. A 14 versus AC.
That will not hit Greensong. She definitely, even in the crowded spiral staircase where you have chosen to fight her, kind of flattens against one wall to avoid your blows.
Luckily, I've got two attacks. So let me try that. How about a 23 to hit?
Yeah, she flattens against the wall and dodges your first attack, the second attack, and not so, you know, she doesn't have a lot of room to operate here.
Okay, so what's going to happen is as the Warhammer raises up, you see this divine light sort of surround the Warhammer's head. And let me see how this works. Expend one spell slot to deal 2d8 extra radiant damage to the target, plus 1d8 for each spell level higher. So I'm just going to do 2d8. And plus 1d8 against undead or fiends. So if this creature happens to be an undead or fiend, it would be 3d8 radiant damage.
It is not.
Plus the regular rate. Okay, so then we will just do the regular damage plus radiant damage. So first is 10 normal physical bludgeoning damage and 11 radiant damage.
Ugh. That's not great for Green Song.
So, yes.
All right. All set.
21 damage. That is all Lone Walker can do, I believe.
All right. Green Song is, I guess it's her turn that got interrupted there, and she kind of calls out, "Sisters, to me!" Green Song kind of changes appearance. There is not an elf standing before you, but a strange, unpleasant-looking... woman with kind of gnarled green skin. Can your skin be gnarled? That might not make any sense. And she looks extremely irate that you all are here. And she points at you, Lone Walker, and she just says, "Dance!" And I need you to make a wisdom save.
Okay, that's exciting.
And she's shooting at your feet with an old-timey gun.
dance!
Okay, let me just... I needed to mark off that spell slot that I used. Okay, so a wisdom save, you said?
Indeed.
How does a 21 work?
All right, you momentarily... You have like a... there's like a rhythm that like kind of permeates your but you shake it off. You're like, now is not the time.
We shall not dance at this point.
You can tell that there was some kind of enchantment being used against you to make you dance against
in fact will. Lone Walker turns to everyone and says, "This one appears to attack by making you dance."
I mean, this was a...
That's how he sees it right now.
Yeah. I will say that you see... They all move on the same turn. The other sisters of this creature seem to be crowding down the hall, and you briefly catch a sight of Azirsa and Morgana before they also transform into slightly less... pleasant looking creatures. And the question is, do they have the ability to, in this crowded hallway, actually do anything?
I don't know. There's a gargoyle in the way.
Well, actually, they're coming down. Oh. But their sister is in the way. So I would say certainly not all three of them can crowd in behind Lone Walker. I think... Lone Walker, you're aware that there are creatures coming down the stairs. There is multiple creatures coming down the stairs at you. I put them on the map in part for my placement, but I think you are kind of holding the gates.
I am kind of being a bit of a bulwark.
I'm going to say one of them is going to try and do a range spell on you. I think that is within the abilities of this crowded hallway here, but the third one behind cannot do anything to you that would probably not hit one or both of her sisters first. So let's see here. So kind of striking out from behind the sisters, you see Azirsa, a beam, a crackling blue energy lances out from her hand in the direction of Lone Walker. It's kind of an arc of lightning. I'm going to make this with disadvantage because it's crowded and she's trying to not hit her sister. I have rolled a not very impressive 6 plus. Probably your armor class is very high. So
It is.
All right. Then I'm not doing the math on that. okay. So she scorches a bolt of lightning, probably much too close to Green Song.
Cool.
Okay. So that was management. Nyasa Nightweaver, you are next.
Shall we finish off the gargoyle? Or should I come? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what gargoyle. I'm thinking. Okay.
Especially since you have magical.
Yeah, that's my thought. I will attempt the same thing again because it's the best thing I've got. So I will keep doing it. That was an 18 plus a 7, which is...
And you're rolling hot dice. All right.
That by peacock. All right. So that is... where have we gone? 46 plus 4. Because sneak attack. Or it's not really a sneak attack, but everybody's standing next to them. So I get...
Mm-hmm.
That is 20 damage.
Okay, your magic blades cut through the air, and then they cut through the gargoyle, who crumbles into just lumps of rock that kind of then scatter down the stairs.
Can we have the sort of paused thing where the slices just fall off one by one?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The gargoyle was claymation this entire time.
Yes, Harryhausen style. Yeah. The sisters hissed at you.
Well, I will chuck one bonus action dagger at whatever the green.
Yes.
The green one.
Yes. Her elf name was Greensong. I'm going to tell you these are hags. Her hag name is Auntie Greenbuns.
Ah, well, she should see somebody about that.
Oh, green bones. I thought you said green buns, and I was thinking of sort of Cat in the Hat style or Dr. Zeus style stuff.
I rolled a 17. How does that do?
17 is the armor class of a hag.
Hurrah, we have established that. Okay, so... For my bonus one, that is 1d4 plus 4 is 7.
7 damage?
Yep.
Valenthe?
Okay, so now that we have like 3 of them crammed in the stairway, do I have space to like set a 5-foot diameter?
I will say no. It's really tight spaces here. So, I mean, you could hit, especially I think you really only have line of sight on Auntie Greenbones, who's at the front of the pack. But that pack basically... You know, it's Lone Walker and a bunch of hags. So, you know.
Well, then.
Is not the ideal battlefield for Moonbeam, I think is the answer.
I thought if it could sit it in the stairway and block it, but.
It's a very tight stairway.
Well, then I'm going to throw my ice knife at them.
At Auntie Greenbone.
Yes. And I rolled a 20, not a crit.
Math 20 will hit Auntie Greenbones.
And 7 points of damage.
All right.
As a bonus, I can do a healing word, Townley, if you need.
I'm fine for now.
Okay.
I could use.
You can?
If it's not going to use a spell slot, yeah.
It does use a spell slot, but this is probably our final battle, I'm guessing. So I don't know.
I'm down about a quarter of my hit points, so...
I can do a level 1.
I don't know. What does everyone think?
I think we should health up if we can, for sure.
Yeah.
And I just rolled, I got you 3 points extra.
Okay.
It's not much, but.
Better than nothing. Yeah. Thank you.
Welcome.
Valenthe, all set?
Yes. Done.
Jasper, you are next, followed by Townley.
Yeah. I'm not great at ranged. Is there room for me to get in there?
I think in the current configuration, Lone Walker is like the doorway. Yeah. So
I'm not a mimic, but I might be a door.
Yeah, because you're a monk, right? So you want to be punching people.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay. that's all up close, up close, up close. Deflect missiles doesn't help. Okay. I think I just have darts.
Throw them
if you got them.
Yep. Every little helps.
It does. I like
punching and kicking.
Yeah. Really a violent person.
I mean, we could let them all in the room, but I think that might be tactically bad. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I got a 14 to hit. It's real tight in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying not to hit Lone Walker. Is not my finest hour. I don't even know if I want to move.
There's not a lot of, at this point, it's basically you either are Lone Walker or you're in range distance of these individuals. So there's not a lot of exciting positioning in this kitchen.
I think that's it. I think I fire a dart, I miss, and I stand here doing nothing. Mm-hmm. That's my exciting turn.
Townley, you are standing, the wreckage of a gargoyle is in front of you. There appears to be something happening in your peripheral vision off to your left.
Did Jasper actually fire a dart?
Yeah, Jasper threw a dart and it missed.
Okay. So although it looks like I'm near Auntie Greenbones, if I walk away, she won't opportunity attack me?
Yeah, I think you are not actually adjacent to her. I know on the grid of the map, it kind of looks like it, but I think that she can't get there. The pillar of the central stairway is in the way. So yeah, you could move freely.
All right, I'm going to walk over here.
Mm-hmm.
Here. I'm just going to stand on this table.
Yeah.
And do the, I'm going to Eldritch Blast this jerk.
All right.
You have the high ground.
James.
I'm sorry.
That's two blasts at her, and they are both a 20.
Those will both hit. That's
16 points of damage.
Ow! Auntie Greenbones, a.k.a. Greensong, is not looking great. She is what you would call bloodied. Yes, she is bloodied, and she is mad.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I knew that was going to bloody her without writing down the number. Was that 16 damage, Monty?
That was 16 damage.
All right. Yeah. She is not in a good way. All right. Lone Walker, you are next, and then the hag go.
Yes. So I'm curious, folks. Do we think it is a good idea? Lone Walker can attack and do some stuff, or Lone Walker can use his action to disengage so he doesn't get hit and move out of the way so that we can let the enemy pour in and we can have more melee. I'm curious what everybody thinks, if I should continue to kind of be a stopgap between us and them, as we kind of take them on a little bit one by one, or do you want us to... Well, actually, I guess I could, if I could kill... If I could kill
Greenbones.
Have you
asked a question yet?
Yeah, I know. I started to, but I just realized that I could probably, if she's bloody, there's a chance I could kill her and then I could move without having to worry about.
Right.
Let me try to do that first. All right. So Lone Walker is going to go for another Warhammer attack. That was a 12.
As you hit the side of the narrow spiral staircase, spraying chips of rock at Auntie Greenbones' feet.
Is that
smash as you hit the other side with a 10?
Yeah, so that was not great.
The property damage, though, Micah, was,
Anyway, in answer to your question, I think you should stay there because fighting one at a time is better than fighting three at a time.
I agree. Mm. Although you may die.
I'm stuck here now anyway.
you might die, but I think overall it'll be better.
All right.
All right.
We'll heal you.
Yeah.
That's all Lone Walker is going to do on Lone Walker's turn.
The three sisters are next, and perhaps sensing that this is not an advantageous situation for them, Lone Walker, they all disappear in front of your eyes as if they have turned invisible. But even when you're invisible, you can still you still create sounds and certainly smells in the same sense of these creatures. And Lone Walker, you are aware of that these three creatures are moving away from you, including one that was right in front of you, who is going to trigger an opportunity attack from you with disadvantage because they are invisible.
Okay. Let me set that up. So now it's at disadvantage and we do a roll. So 7. Yeah, that's not going to hit.
All right. Wow, you are not on a great streak there, Mike.
Nope. I shouldn't have turned on beyond 20 because now my rolls suddenly stink.
Mm. Yep. That's how it works.
That's how it works.
Dice by Peacock is listening. Nyasa Nightweaver, there are no foes within sight of you.
Right.
So just to be clear, Lone Walker, I think probably everybody else, you saw me disappear. Lone Walker, you heard several steps of footsteps going up the stairs away from you.
Okay, well, okay. That answers my question, because I was wondering if I could run upstairs and kill some paintings. But if people have gone upstairs, maybe not.
Upstairs is where we want to go. We have to kill these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Plus, I've got a spell that can really help when attacking invisible people.
What? I didn't... Oh, wait. Actually, I was going to say, they're invisible fancy as far eyes. As Lone Walker goes. Are they still... Can you see invisible people, Townley? Is that your current upgrade of your magic eyes?
I don't think I can see invisible people yet.
Okay.
But I do have fairy fire, which will do good in in a 20-foot cube. If they fail a dexterity roll, they'll be outlined in green light, and then we can kill them pretty easily.
Nice.
I will also, what level are you all at this point?
Five.
I think probably any of the magic users among you would probably know that most magic invisibility is contingent on not attacking or casting a spell. So usually when somebody makes themselves invisible, it's only temporary until they do something hostile. So just in case that matters to your tactics. All right. Sorry, we interrupted James' turn. What is Nyasa Nightweaver doing around this situation?
Let us throw caution to the wind and run up the stairs.
Yes. All right.
Tell
me how many feet of movement you've got, I guess. So the stairs is probably 10 feet away. And then
I can do 30, but I can also dash as a bonus action.
Let me show you what's up the stairs so you can, as you come up the stairs, right?
See what you could have won.
So Nyasa, I imagine it's 10 feet up the stairs, 5, 10, 15, 20. I think you're probably about at the top of the stairs with a single move action, looking around. You have popped up into the third floor of the tower. Just seems to be one open room. And I'm not going to lie to you, the room is not great. It's filthy. It smells bad. The air grows cooler around you as you reach the top of the tower, Nyasa. The putrid scent hits your nostrils. This might have at one point, a long, long time ago, been like an elegant bedroom. It is, the words that come to mind now are soiled and ruined. There are some murals of Soon, goddess of beauty, lining the wall that have been defaced with dirt and filth. There are three kind of beds spread out around the large chamber, but they're really kind of like they started life as beds, and somewhere they have become, when does a bed become a nest? These are answering these important philosophical questions, because each bed is kind of topped with a heap of bones and scraps of fabric and hide and pelts of animals. There's some empty crates scattered around the chamber that are kind of furniture. And it looks like there's a decent amount of stuff strewn around here that has that, you know, unmistakable look of things that were belong to people who have been killed and their stuff taken from them. You know, like there's just like there's a crate full of like backpacks and a crate full of swords and stuff. And it's like, those are not, this is not someone who ordered a sword delivery. That's just where they're stacking up swords.
But I mean, at least they're sorting everything. I mean, that shows something.
It makes our looting convenient.
Are there any obvious paintings?
There are no obvious paintings in this room. There are the murals of Soon that are all defaced with filth, but there are not any obvious paintings. There are lots of crates and boxes. Certainly some of them could hold a spell.
I don't know what my likelihood is if I just throw random knives around, or whether I should torch some of the crates.
You have an action left, I believe.
Yeah.
And you are at the top of the stairs.
Okay.
Torch a bed.
Yeah. Okay. Good plan. Fire has done me well this far. I am going to firebolt the large bed in front of me.
I don't know if there's a lot in terms of flammable material there, but it kind of catches fire and is sizzling. Does not look like the bed was occupied.
Well, at least it's I'm cleaning up, if nothing yep. else. Okay, as I have got a bonus action, I can hide. So
I would say that your options for hiding are very limited here on the spiral staircase that you are currently on.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I can't. Well, I can dash. No, because now we're in the same situation that they were in. Mm. And I don't like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to dash into the room while I have the opportunity using my bonus action.
All right.
And I will go over there.
All right. As you kind of cross the threshold at the top of the stairs, your foot steps upon something worked into the floor at the top of the landing here that immediately kind of glows. You catch a quick view of a glyph igniting as suddenly a magic spell is you triggered a magic trap here, Nyasa. Acid kind of gushes forth from the glyph, spilling down the stairs. You're going to need to give me a DC 13 dexterity saving throw to not be coated in acid. And hey, Lone Walker, as you are listening at the bottom of the stairs, sounds like running water, and suddenly a spurt of acid comes splashing down the spiral staircase in the direction of your feet. It's like the worst slip and slide ever. Give me a quick DC 13 dexterity save.
My bad. Okay.
Oh, dexterity? Yep.
At least dexterity yep. is my thing, so this should be okay. Mm. Yes.
DC what?
13.
I got 16.
Oh, what? If it's an inanimate object, does the tie still go to the inanimate object? Because I got a 13 on my save.
13 is what you needed to do to get the saving throw.
Oh, okay, cool.
So unfortunately, you're still going to take some damage. You get splashed. Each of you gets splashed with acid damage. You're going to take 11 acid damage. Ooh. That's what success looks like.
I'm going to use Stone's endurance to reduce my damage.
Got it.
Would you say I could see this acid?
I guess you could see it, yes.
Because with my uncanny dodge, I half the damage.
No, it's not an attack, if that matters. Or
well, let
you were doing a save.
I'm looking up what it says.
Okay.
For
uncanny dodge.
Yeah. Okay. No, that doesn't work. It's an attack. It needs to be an attack. So
yeah,
mine is only related to damage, so I am still able to do that. How much damage was done?
11 damage, and then you negated some of it.
Yes. All right. I will.
All right. Jasper, Valente, and Townley, you see like a green acid roll across the floor of the kitchen. I imagine some of you are already on tables and whatnot, and I'm going to say that you have enough time and space to get up on tables as the kitchen floor is now sizzling. I'm not a general contractor. I don't think there's enough acid to worry about the structural integrity of this kitchen floor, but like the cosmetic damage to it is immeasurable. So
it seems like a health code violation. This is a business.
At the very least.
Yeah. All right. Nyasa, you have run through the acid and taken up a position on the far side of the chamber. That was a very long turn.
I'm in a strategically poor place, but we'll see.
Valente, you are in the kitchen. There's some acid on the floor. It's sizzling. You don't have to worry about it unless, I don't know, are you barefoot? Well, you should.
I am
be
not barefoot. I am not barefoot. I have like really good boots on, so I really can now like after that initial, I can now run up the stairs without.
You absolutely can.
Okay, so I am gonna do that and pause at the top of the stairs to assess. Can I see Nyasa?
Yes.
I am going to use. I'll ask her. What should I do? What's going on?
Well,
Nyasa.
I think I just got rid of all the traps for you. there's a bed on fire, nobody on it. There's probably some invisible things in here. So try setting some things on fire or.
I Okay, so you, which you did the bed at the bottom?
I did the big one.
Okay. I'm going to like cast a sleet storm for fun.
Just, you know, a little fun.
That's classy. So, but I'm going to do it in like a different area, even though like probably the sleet storm could put the fire out. Let's see. Can I see the whole room or can I only? Yeah. Okay.
I imagine that this was because of the top floor. I imagine that like. The,
it's like an open space.
Yeah, you come up to an open space there is how I imagine it.
So there's kind of I mean,
feel free to fire at like the general area next to me, just in case.
Sure. So do you want me to like go next? Sure. You know what? I'll go in those boxes next to you, but not...
Not me. Yeah.
Not you. It's 20 feet tall with a 40-foot radius. So it's like going to take a large section of that kind of side of the room and make it
40 feet
slippery.
Feels like a lot of the room.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just so long as it's not
that's
me.
That's the whole tower.
Is it? Okay, so maybe...
radius is the whole tower.
Yeah, that is the whole tower.
I don't want to do... These...
Annette, some of these are outside spells.
I know. I was thinking it was 20 feet.
I mean, if you can target on a specific point, and you targeted it against the wall, then it's not going to be...
It's half the tower.
Yeah, it's half the tower, but it's not the half I'm in.
Can we do it that way? Yeah, is that allowable?
Like, if you targeted
Tell me which side of the tower you're covering.
It's going to be the side of the tower that is, like, opposite where the flames are.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is ice now?
Which makes it difficult per terrain, and they will be all slippy slidey.
If there was somebody invisible in that area, would they have just gotten hit with ice? Or is it like turn the floor to ice? Or you turn the floor to ice?
There's like, they don't get damaged, but they're not going to, like, it's going to be all.
Okay.
They have to do a dexterity saving throw to move.
Yes. Yeah, so you touch the ground, and a sheet of ice emanates out from you, covering half the ground.
Yeah.
And can I suggest that it also goes up the wall?
And up the wall and a little bit on the ceiling. We don't have a budget here.
Depends how low the ceilings are.
Yeah. So half the third floor of the tower is on fire. The other half is frozen over. And in between is Nyasa and Valente.
Slowly. I wonder what it was like growing up with these two. I bet their parents were just thrilled all the time.
A lot of trips to the emergency
it's
room.
It's like the bad version of that Disney movie about sisters.
Do you want to melt a snowman?
Valente, you all set?
I am. I think I've used all my actions.
Jasper, I have an important question for you as a monk. Are you barefoot or do you wear little sandals?
I think I have sandals. Like, they're not armor, but I think I've got, you know, basic ground protection on. I was wondering briefly as the acid came down if we were going to have to do, like, are we going to have to search the kitchen for baking soda? Are we doing, like, some acid base chemistry? But are my sandals enough?
Yeah, they're fine.
Okay.
They're, yeah.
All right, so my move, 40 feet.
40 feet?
40 feet. So I can get up to the top of the tower and off to the side a step, I guess.
As you arrive at the top of the tower, it appears that the hags knew that you were coming, Jasper, and have coated half of the floor in ice to make it hard for them.
Wow.
I'm like, don't go that way. It's very icy.
Also, it's visibly icy. Yeah.
Don't go towards the fire either.
I think I recognize the fingerprints of my compatriots.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't really have anything I can do. But I do know that I need to be up here. So. Let me just double check to make sure. Yeah, I don't have any, like, So I'm just up here and ready to,
I mean, you could kick
whatever,
a bed or something.
I guess. I'll just wait. I mean, I can't do anything ranged, and those look nasty, so.
That's fair.
You know.
Townley, how do you feel about the kitchen?
The kitchen is boring now.
Yep.
Can I get from where I am now to right here so I can stick my head up and at least see? All right.
I would say that probably takes 25 feet of movement to get there.
Great. I'm going to cast Fairy Fire.
Okay. Tell me how this works, or at least where, like how much do we have to care about where in the tower to go? Or is it like the whole tower?
It's each object in a 20-foot cube, which is a 4x4 situation.
So that would be like slightly more than a quarter of the tower. Is that about right?
Yeah. I'm going
kind of a
to
pizza wedge.
Base it where I am and go like that.
Okay. So you cast Fairy Fire. Can you remind all of us what Fairy Fire does?
Each object within range is outlined in green light. It looks amazing. Any creature in the area when the spell is cast is also outlined in light if it fails a dexterity saving throw.
So there are no creatures in that square.
Very well.
Ooh. Except me. Do I
well, Jasper is illuminated in green light. Yeah.
Well, that's bad news for you then, because any attack roll against an affected creature or object has advantage if the attacker can see it.
What's the save on it?
Dexterity 15.
I did not save.
It's not who you choose. It's just who's there.
Right. Each creature in the area. And each item, like I say, is now outlined. Yeah. If they wander into it, that's bad news for them. And any affected creature or object cannot benefit from being invisible, which is why I cast this spell. But nothing happened, you say.
Well, you know there are no creatures over there. Lone Walker.
Well, Lone Walker is going to go upstairs to join the group. I guess I'm kind of stuck right there. And I think I can do a little bit of... Okay, yes. For the duration, you know if there is an aberration, celestial, elemental, fey, fiend, or undead within 30 feet of you, as well as where the creature is located. Similarly, you know if there is a place or object within 30 feet of you that has been magically consecrated or desecrated.
All right. So what was the name of the spell you're using to do this?
Detect evil and good.
Well, I will tell you that hags are fey. They are from the Feywild. And you are aware that there are three invisible hags all staring down at the cluster of you in the middle of their tower. I guess I should just make them appear on the map where you see them, right? Because you know exactly where they are.
I know exactly where they are, yeah.
All right. So these creatures are invisible. I imagine that Lone Walker would see them in kind of a slight alpha translucency, but there are three hags spread out throughout their vile lair here in relatively arbitrarily chosen positions by me that managed to not be in the place set on fire or in the place that had Fairy Fire dropped on it. And they all, I don't think they know that you see them, Lone Walker. They all look like they are getting ready to just drop spells on top of the area where the four of you are clustered at the top of the stairway there.
Okay.
If I have a psychic link to Lone Walker, do I know where they are? Or is that just...
I think psychic link means that you can text message.
Yeah, I was going to say text message.
See through his eyes.
Could you, text me a picture? We did not subscribe to the MMS version of this service. Mm.
Lone Walker is going to run at Dread Morgan.
Okay.
You
storm up into the tower in the direction of one of the invisible hags, choosing the path that does not lead across a sheet of ice.
Yeah, making himself as big as he possibly can as he just tries to intimidate her. I don't know if it'll do anything, but just wants to sort of scare Dread Morgan.
And do you have enough movement to do that after?
Oh, let's see. So I was at the stairs and went up them. How much movement was that?
You've used 15 so far.
Okay, so far I've used 15. Then from here, 5, 10. Yeah, definitely I've got enough movement.
Okay.
I've got enough movement to be here or be here. So that's running up
Okay. You run in the direction of the invisible hag that only you can see.
Yes. And I'm looking directly at Dread Morgan with Goliath, a pretty scary look on my face. Yep. And as I said, sort of making myself as big as I possibly can. And may I roll for intimidation?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't. I hate these. I'm not rolling this way anymore.
Okay.
I'm turning off Beyond 20 right now.
Micah rolled an 8, listeners. That was
Yes, listeners.
Micah rolled a 3+5 to his, which was relatively impressive intimidation bonus. But yeah, that's chances are was insufficient to intimidate an invisible hag. Well, you have found your way to the top of the tower in this final confrontation with management, but you have gone from a impressive standoff in the kitchen to basically, you've set up a murder box in the top floor, and it's not a box from which you murder, it is a box in which the hags intend to murder you by just dropping spells on top of your head. What horrible magic incantations will they drop upon you? Will you be able to survive? Will you be able to figure out the secret of these paintings? Will you return management of the spa to one Silvari? For answers to questions such as these, tune in next time to Total Party Kill.
Incomparable Podcast Network. Become a member and support this show today. TheIncomparable.com/members.